you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 150, verse 6, followed by John 4:23. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's Psalm 150, verse 6. And these are words of Jesus from John chapter 4, verse 23. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Oh, listening friend, you're in for a real treat, for we're starting a new series with Pastor Rick Warren titled Shaping Your Future Self. It's 5 parts, and it'll cover about the next month and a half. Today, tomorrow, and next Tuesday's topic, how praising God changes every situation, the awesome power of praise. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church helping us learn how to shape our future self by having our spirits lifted by praising God.
One of my roles as your pastor is not just to teach you new truth, but to remind you of stuff you already know. We have good forgetters. You agree with that? Parents have to remind their kids of things they know. Employers and bosses and supervisors and managers have to remind workers what's going on. It's part of my job to help remind you of stuff because human nature is we forget. Now, today, as we start together, I want to remind you of a powerful habit and the benefits of this important habit, this important spiritual habit. It's a habit you're going to need to use every single day of your life. This habit is particularly useful when you're going through tough times. So today, I want us to look at the awesome power of praise. So get out your message notes right now. Okay, go ahead and pull them all out. Now, at the top of your outline, Psalm 150, verse 6 says this. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Do you have breath? Yes. Then you are to praise the Lord. Everything in the universe brings praise to God. Actually, even the stuff that doesn't have breath. Trees, plants, rocks, they honor God. They bring glory to God by being what God created them to be. Everything brings glory to God. Only human beings reject that. Jesus once said, if human beings don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Now, when it comes to praise and it comes to worship, it's not really complicated. In fact, Jesus said there are only 2 marks of real worship. This is the only thing you have to remember. The entire Bible, there are only 2 qualifications for worship to be correct. And Jesus says this in John chapter 4, the next verse on your outline, verse 23. Jesus said, true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Circle spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. That's the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Now, what does that mean? To worship God in spirit and truth. Now, spirit, it's not a capital S, so it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about your spirit. You're not just a body. You have a spirit in your body. And when you worship God in the correct way, it's from your spirit. You don't just mouth the words. You don't just mindlessly go through rituals and prayers that you've memorized and not even think about it. It comes from your spirit, and it has to be in truth. In other words, for worship to be accepted by God, it has to be authentic. You got to really mean it. And it has to be accurate, authentic and accurate. Devotional and doctrinal, in spirit and in truth. The one thing that really ticks God off, if you want to know what God doesn't like, that God really hates it, what God hates more than anything else is lukewarm worship, where we go through the motions, we sing the songs, we say the prayers, we do the right thing, but we're not even thinking about it. We're just going through the routine, the ritual, without even thinking about it. God says, I'd rather you just mail it in, skip that. If you're going to do it. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I see that you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. He said, I don't like that. I don't like lukewarm worship. He said, I'd rather have you be cold, totally against me, or hot, totally for me, just not lukewarm. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That's a euphemism that says, you make me sick to my stomach. You nauseate me. God says, when I see people who are coming to worship, but they don't really mean it, they're not even thinking about it, he says, it makes me want to throw up. It makes me want to puke. It makes me want to vomit. Because I'm so nauseated by lukewarm worship. It needs to be in spirit and in truth. It needs to be passionate. Now, God talks about this in the book of Isaiah. There in your outline or here on the screen, Isaiah 29, God says this. These people claim to be mine, okay, and they praise me with their lips. They're saying all the right things. They're singing all the right things, but they don't mean it. Their hearts are somewhere else. They're thinking about the ball game. They're thinking about where we're going to go for lunch. They're thinking about all these other things. He said their hearts are not somewhere else, far from me, and their worship is just routine, repeated without thinking. You know, anytime for the last 42 years as I've been the pastor of this church, I'm out on the patio talking to people. When somebody comes up to me and say, you know, Rick, I really didn't get anything out of that service today. When somebody says that to me, I always ask the exact same question, and I get the same answer every single time. When people say, I didn't get anything out of worship, I say this. Did you attempt to sing all of the songs with your whole heart, or did you just stand there watching other people sing? And I've gotten the same answer every single time. The answer is, I just stood there. I didn't try to sing. And I reply, that's your problem. That's why you got nothing out of the service. You didn't put anything into it. You didn't put your heart into it. Now, let me tell you this. Worship isn't for you anyway. Worship is for God. When we come to worship, we're expressing our thanks, our gratitude, our praise to God. Worship is not about you. Now, anytime you do anything that God wants you to do, God always builds benefits into it that will bless you. So yes, you're going to get something out of it. And we're going to talk about some really big things you get out of praising God today. But the point is, I worship God because he deserves it. I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be able to breathe. My heart would not be beating. Everything in my life I owe God. So certainly on the first day of each week, I can pause for a few minutes and go, thanks, God. Thank you. I wouldn't have anything without God. Now, when you do that, you will get something out of it. But it's got to be in spirit and truth. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be from your heart. That means you put some emotion into it. Now, in the Bible, I could give you a list of over 50 different benefits. Physical benefits, financial benefits, relational benefits, emotional, mental benefits, all kinds of benefits for your life when you do what God tells you to do, when he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We could look at a lot of them, but I'm only going to give you seven today. I just picked out seven benefits. And the reason I only picked out seven is because I want you to have the time to not just listen about it. I want you to practice these forms of praise. Now, because some of you have had a hard time with this, let me answer the three most common excuses. It's not like I haven't heard them. For not singing in church. Okay, here's the first one. And this particularly comes from men, but women can do it too. Rick, I'm not really an emotional person. And I don't feel comfortable with my emotions. So I don't want people watching me. And I certainly don't want to get emotional in front of them. I'm not an emotional person. Well, the answer is this. You're wrong. You are an emotional person. You're just frightened by your emotions, so you deny them. You're made in God's image. God is an emotional God. God gets angry. God gets frustrated. God gets impatient. God loves. God weeps. The only reason you have emotions, what makes you a human being, is you have emotions. Now, the question is, are you in touch with them? Or are you denying them? Can you feel your emotions and be a true man or a true woman? Or are you scared to death? You're frightened. You were taught to push your emotions down, shut them down. I want to tell you, Saddleback Church is a place that you need to set yourself free to feel the feelings you have. Okay? This is a safe place for you to feel the feelings that you have. Why? Because you're made in God's image. If God didn't want you to feel him, he wouldn't have given you those feelings. But maybe you were taught by your parents or somebody else to shove them down. Now, let me just say this. You don't have to worry about how you look to other people when you're praising God, because guess what? They're not looking at you. Worship, they're focusing on God. Nobody is looking at you. Right now, nobody in this auditorium is thinking about you. Nobody. So why are you so concerned? How do I look? Do I look cool? Am I all right? You know what? Everybody's thinking about themselves. Nobody cares how you worship God. Nobody cares how you praise God. Why? They're focusing on God, not you. By the way, you know, sometimes people raise their hands when they praise God. People go, what's that all about? Is it some kind of weird thing? They raise their hand? They're going into a trance? No, it's just a symbol of joy. You do it all the time at sports games. You go to a game, you go, touchdown, woo-hoo! Or you go to a soccer game and your kid hits a goal, woo-hoo! You know, it's just saying, touchdown, Jesus. Yay, God. Now, let me tell you what. Why do you go to a game, and when you go to a game, you raise your hand when you're full of joy? You're called a fan. But if you came and you dared to raise your hand in church, you're called a fanatic. So, really, it's okay to express joy to other people, but it's not okay to express joy to God? Come on, get over it. Grow up. And if you feel like raising your hand to it, if you don't. It's no big deal. It's not some special ooey-gooey thing. It's just the Bible says we lift our hands and praise God. It says, touchdown God. Yay, God. Woohoo! You know, I'm feeling this right now at this moment. And your heart moves when your body moves. So don't be afraid to move your body in worship. Now, another excuse people say is this one. You know, Rick, I'm not really a musical person. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a baggie. Okay, well, first, let me just say this. God is moved by the sincerity of your heart, not the sound of your voice. So you don't have to be a Metropolitan Opera singer for God to like your worship, okay? Let me just say it this way. God wants to hear your voice because he gave you that voice. Where do you think you got your voice? God gave you your voice. He wants to hear your praise in your voice, not in somebody else's voice. What if my wife, Kay, said to me, honey, I don't really like the sound of my voice, so I'm going to stand silently and let other people tell you how much I love you. Would that make sense? Because I don't like the sound of my voice, then I'm not going to tell you how great I think you are. I'm going to let other people say it, and I'll nod. No, I want to hear it in my kid's voice. I want to hear it in my wife's voice. God wants to hear your voice, not somebody else's. Some of you have never used your voice to praise God. Today is your day, all right? Now, here's the third excuse that people give for not singing in church. I don't know the tunes. Okay, it doesn't matter if you know the tunes or not. Let me ask you this. Can you read? Can you read? Because if you can read the lyrics on the wall, you can say them aloud without any tune to it, and that's praise too. Hear what I'm saying. You don't have to sing the words, but you do have to say the words. So if you don't have a voice, or you got laryngitis, what I want you to do, you've never done this before, I want you to read the words aloud of the songs we're going to sing, but I want you to read them with a little bit of emotion and passion. Not like, oh God, you're a great God, you're incredible, you really do great things, I'm really glad to be one of your kids. No, God, thank you. God, this is, you're amazing. You rose from the grave. You got power. You can change my life. Say it with a little bit of enthusiasm. So I'm telling you, if you can't sing, you don't know the tune, say the word aloud, but just say it from the heart, okay? You don't have to sing for this to work, but you do to receive all the blessings that I'm going to share with you. And there's some really big blessings that you're going to miss out on if you don't learn the habits that I'm going to teach you or remind you of today. But you have to put your heart into it. So read it dramatically like you actually mean what we're saying. Now, for those of you who are still thinking that you can opt out of this and you don't have to say anything, you're dead wrong, because I am watching you. More important, God is watching you to see if you will praise him or not. It doesn't really matter whether I'm watching. God is watching you. Nobody else is, but God is. But if you don't sing in this service, I may have to put a cameraman on you to focus on you and put your lovely picture on the screen, so everybody can see you standing there like a mannequin. I'm just kidding. Okay, relax. Take a deep breath. I would never do that. That would be embarrassing. Embarrassing is not loving. I would never embarrass you. So I would never do that. But I might. So just read the words aloud with authentic feeling. Don't give lip service. Remember, God says, I'd rather have you hot or cold, not lukewarm. Read the words while you're thinking of something else. No, while you're thinking of him. Psalm 138, there on your outline, verse 1 says, I will praise you, Lord, with what? My whole heart. Circle that. So that's what we're going to practice today. This is going to be an exercise, and when you finish here, you're going to know how to praise God. By the way, you know what we're going to do in heaven? One of the things we're going to do in heaven is praise God. So what we're going to do here is practice, so when you get to heaven, you're not a doofus. Okay? You know how to do this when you get to heaven. You don't want to get that, oh, I never really learned how to praise God. Now, today, as I said, God gives benefits when we do what he tells us to do. I'm going to share with you 7 incredible benefits and blessings to your life that God guarantees when you praise God with all your heart. Now, I'm going to start with a couple real simple, real obvious ones right up front. But as we move through these 7, we're going to get into some heavy-duty, major, macho blessings of God that you have been missing out on if you haven't been praising God as a habit of your life. All right, let's get right into this. Number one, this is a real simple, kind of obvious one. Number one, praising God lifts my spirit. That's the first thing it does. Praising God lifts my spirit. If I came to church today tired, exhausted, discouraged, fatigued, praise is a mood enhancer. In fact, praise, particularly with other people, worship with others, is an energizer, which is why you need to come to worship, not simply passively watch a service online. So you're the smart people. There are a lot of our members right now who stayed home today, and they're watching online, and their PJs eating Cheerios. They're not going to sing. They're not going to get involved. They're not going to get the benefit. You get the benefit by being involved in the family together, and there is power in corporate worship. One of the reasons that I wanted to look at the habit of praise in our first service is because the thing I've been hearing most from people in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the thing I've heard the most people say, you know, Rick, I'm feeling a little discouraged right now. I'm feeling a little down. I'm feeling a little discouraged, a little dismayed. Well, there's a lot to be discouraged about. If you look in the world, there's a lot of problems out there. But if you don't keep your eyes on God, you're going to get discouraged. And so praise takes your focus off of the problems around you and puts your focus back on God. Recently, there was a cover of Business Week magazine, and the cover of Business Week magazine said, searching for hope. So that's what the world's looking for right now. This is not a Christian magazine. The world is searching for hope right now. Well, we know where it is. So let me ask you a couple of personal questions right off the bat. What's discouraging you right now? Whatever that is, we're going to deal with it in this service, that problem. What's discouraging you these days? And the second question is, what are you looking to for the source of your hope? What are you going to put your hope in? If you put your hope in the wrong thing, you'll just be more and more disappointed. Now, if you're feeling a little down, a little depressed, a little tired, a little empty, and you're feeling a little discouraged, I recommend to you Psalm 42. It's there on your outline. Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6 says this. Why am I discouraged? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so troubled and upset? Instead, I will put my hope, remember the world's looking for hope? I will put my hope in God, and I will praise him once again as my Savior and my God. And when my heart is breaking, maybe your heart's breaking right now, I remember your kindness. Now, if you're taking notes, circle three words in that passage: hope, praise, and remember. Because those three go together. If you want hope in your life, you want to be a hopeful person, you got to do the other two: praise and remember. When you praise and remember, it builds hope in your life.
Praise and remember the goodness of God, as we'll continue right here tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, as we've launched a new series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, Shaping Your Future Self. Today, tomorrow, and next Tuesday, looking at how praising God changes every situation. And today, looking at praising God will lift your spirit. We opened up the program with Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And John 4:23, these are words of Jesus: true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Now, Pastor Rick Warren mentioned seven things that happen when we praise God with all of our heart. Today, we just looked at praising God will lift your spirit. But on tomorrow and next Tuesday, we'll learn that praising God helps you sense his presence, that praising God enlarges your perspective of him, that praising God reveals solutions you can't see, that praising God reminds you of his blessings, that praising God enlists God's protection for you, and that praising God frees you and opens up doors. These seven things will be addressed as what happens when you praise God with all your heart. This is a five-part series, so it'll be covered over the next month and a half or so. So I hope you can join in. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or can't tune in for all of these editions in the days ahead, you can always stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.